Good to see everyone here tonight as we are talking about leadership and talking about how there are qualities in leaders that the Lord's church must have. And when we think about that, it's important for us to keep that in mind. And the reason why we want to keep that in mind is because we understand that leaders in the church are God's moral leaders. And just as Jesus is our moral leader and we are following him, then we ought to be an example to the flock, as Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 5, the first two verses. And so when we consider leadership, we're talking about men who are up front. And on last week, we talked about how leadership must have the mind of Christ and how they're supposed to follow after Christ. And so we considered 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, and also Ephesians 5, and verse number 1. And we looked at how Paul said, imitate me even as I imitate the Christ. And so in order to be a good leader, y'all hear this point, wake up. You got to be a good follower. You have to be a good follower. And so when Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ, a man shouldn't have a desire to be out front if he himself is not following Christ. It's once said that if a man is leading and no one's following, he's just out there taking a walk. He's just getting some exercise. But when you think about a leader, we're talking about one, especially in the church, one that is led by the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us a few things that we considered on last week, Galatians 5, verses 16, and then you drop down to verse 22 and 23, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then Paul, by inspiration, outlines the fruit of the Spirit. And so this is what the Spirit generates in the child of God. The man of God, men of God, the elders, the deacons, ministers, teachers, Bible class teachers, must have these characteristics. It ought to exude from him, if you will. But then we also took in consideration 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through verse number 11, and the Christian graces. And those Christian graces are very important. And it's interesting that Peter, by inspiration, says, add two. And so there's things that should be added to the faith of the leader. And as he is adding those things to his faith, you see him growing, see him developing. And these are the men that should be out front. Those men are usually out front before they're actually appointed as leaders, if you will. This is why, Brother Ryan, when you think of the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the first seven verses, you got 26 qualifications between 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. These men already have those qualifications. Now, they can grow in those qualifications. They can become more and more efficient in those qualifications, but they should already have them. And so deacons is the same way. Ministers the same way. And we discussed that on last week, just kind of perused through that. And we saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the qualifications of elders, 8 through 13, the qualifications of deacons. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 1 Timothy chapter 5, the end of the chapter, we have the qualifications of the minister. And so that's important for us to keep in mind. We're not just throwing people in front of the people of God because, well, he has a desire. No, he must meet qualifications. Case in point, you think of 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse 16. Paul says something there that's very important for all of us to keep in mind. Paul's talking about how a minister, a servant, a preacher has the responsibility of watching his life and his doctrine, what? Closely. For in doing this, you will save yourself and what? They that hear you. It's important for us to keep that in mind. He's a good guy. We like what he has to say. Is he qualified? Is he qualified? Okay? And so even when you think of the qualifications of ministers, it's important for us to keep that in mind. And so we considered that. So we looked at Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 last week. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, verse number 11. But we also considered 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. And when you look at those ideas of what love is, you can't read that and not see our God. Why? 1 John 4, 8 and 18. God is what? All right, so that's a recap of what we talked about on last week. Let's go ahead and begin what we want to talk about on this week, because we're talking about making God's choice concerning qualities of good leaders. Qualities. Now, I didn't say qualifications. I said qualities. A good leader, number one, is a good leader in his house, in his home, in the community, in the church. He's a good leader, meaning he's out front. And so when I was considering this, I thought about the work of an elder and considering some of the qualities of a good eldership. In James chapter 5, because when we consider leadership, and it is the leader's responsibility to cultivate through the word of God the environment of the church, the local work. That's the leadership. That's their responsibility to cultivate that environment. Even psychologists understand that if a person is in an environment that is not conducive for growth, they will not grow. They won't develop. Well, where did they get that from? Oh, they pulled it out the air. Oh, they became very wise, even wiser than God. No, friends, they get it from the word of God. That's why it's so important that the environment that we cultivate must be an environment that is saturated in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The mind of Christ. So in James chapter 5, starting at verse number 13 through verse number 18. I'm sorry, verse 20. We're going to start with Chad. James 5, verses 13 through 20. Now, if leaders are going to be men who have great, great qualities, they got to be available. They got to be available. What do we mean by that? Let's look at the text. In James chapter 5, starting at verse number 13, read to verse number 20. Well, I'll probably stop you and make a couple comments. Go ahead.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed.
Stop. Real quick. So I want to make a little quick point there. If a member or members have problems and they need assistance, the Bible tells us what? Call for who? The elders. The word call, or the phrase call for, literally, you as a member or members are calling them to your side. That is a quality. That requires, now watch this phrase, good bedside what? Manners. Now, one thing we do know, everyone don't have that. We know that. But the Bible demonstrates that if a person, a child of God, has an issue, they need to call for the elders. Which also implies that the elders must be available and they must insert themselves into the lives of the people of God. There's a book. I only read a little bit of it, but the title of the book is They Smell Like Sheep. It's hard to smell like sheep if you don't spend time with the sheep. Again, a man can say, I'm a leader, but no one's following. He's just taking a walk. He's jogging. But when a man spends time with the people of God, He's a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And so one of the qualities of a good leader, he is available. He's available. Hey, I need you. Where are you? Right here. I'll be over there such and such a time, however long it takes. I remember an older preacher, he was preaching one time, and he said something that caught my attention. I was young in the faith. And he said, the members of the Lord's church are not to be used as ecclesiastical rungs on a ladder. You're not using the people of God so you can grow up or go up in whatever. The people of God, when you call, especially as leaders, we need to be ready. I tell people all the time, you call me 2 a.m. If I answer the phone, I'm coming. Why? Because that's how important you are. Now, most of the time, you don't have to come now. Well, that's not because I didn't want to come. That's because you said I didn't have to come. There have been many a nights where Evelyn, hey, let's get in the car. We got to go somewhere. Why? Because that's how important the sheep are. And so, when we think about the environment that quality leaders develop and cultivate, that's a requirement. Y'all, do me a favor. I'm going to be very nice when I say this. Act like you're paying attention. Because I could be home right now in bed. Act like you're paying attention. And the reason why is because it's so important. We are allowing men to be leaders in the Lord's church who are not even qualified and don't even have the qualities of leadership. And Brother Ryan, we see it, don't we? The church is hurting right now. Why? Because men are not leaders in their homes. They're not leaders in the community. But they want to be a leader here. I'm not saying ninth and main. I'm talking about in the church. We have to cultivate. Men must have qualities. He has to be available. It's so important. Why have a husband if he's not available? Why have a wife if she's not available? I can be alone by myself. I can do bad by myself. I can do good by myself. And so when we think about leaders, they are out front. They are out front. Continue to read, Brother Chad.
Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails.
Now, notice what he just read. James's words by inspiration, the effective, fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man. God's people must be righteous people. God's leaders must be righteous people. Not just publicly, Brother Royce, but what? Privately. My private life is just as important as my what? Public life. Old folk used to say, what's done in the dark will come to the light. You know, that's positive and negative. A lot of times we want to look at just the negative, but the positive as well. And so qualities of a good leader, he's available. And when he's called to the side, he's on his way. You just call. I'm coming. Why? Because we care about you. Why? Because you're sheep. Why? Because you are the people of God and you deserve the best. And the people of God deserve the best. And we can prove it with the 27 qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7 in Titus 1. We can prove it. God says, I want the cream of the crop. He's always wanted the cream of the crop. And truth be told, we ought to want it too. Keep reading. What does it say?
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
It's interesting that when you consider, especially the latter part of what you just read, of going after a Christian that has left the faith, that has turned their back on the Lord, and you turn them from the error of their way, and the Bible says you cover a multitude of sin. It is so, what's the word, fulfilling. When you find a child of God who is wavered and you work with them over a period of time and they come to the knowledge of truth through repentance. It's so fulfilling. Why? All of us want to see good come out. And we know for a fact that, well, whether a person repents or not, we've done our part. We understand that. But when a person turns away, that's a beautiful day. And the Bible says that God is really not looking at their sin anymore because of that. Any comments, any questions that we go any further? Yes, sir, my good brother.
Paul said in Acts 20 that he did not cease working with the church night and day with tears. And he did so for a period of 3 years, never ceasing to warn them. And I heard one brother say it. He said, if Jesus paid so precious of a price to purchase the sheep, we ought to pay the ultimate price as shepherds to preserve the sheep.
Excellent point. I was just looking at Luke 15 today. And I was considering verses 1 through verse number 17. So it's interesting that you brought that out. But verses 1 through 7, if you have a sheep that goes astray, the Bible demonstrates that, well, the leaders ought to do what? Leave the what? And go after the what? Hold on, that one, is that important? Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
My
sir.
You don't realize how important that one is until that one is you.
Wow.
Somebody needs to come get you.
Wow. Wow. Brother Brian, thank you for that.
I want to add to that.
Yes, sir.
You don't realize how important that one is until you start feeling guilty for the rest of the block that you just left. Spending so much time and energy on one or two families.
That's right.
And you start to say, whoa, I got to back off here. We've got a whole block here. It's like one preacher said. Kind of like fighting honeybees. It never ends.
Well, that's the beauty. Yes. And that's the beauty of having multiple men in the eldership. That's why you just can't have one man. This is not a pastor system. It's pastors. And this is why we're working together. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We as a society and the church understand this in the realm of a shepherd or a preacher. Sheep is out or one of their cattle is out, no one would say, oh, just leave it out there. Like, I mean, that's their livelihood.
That's right.
You know, they would leave all of what they have to go get that one. But sometimes in the spiritual realm, it sometimes can just feel like too much.
That's right. No, it's good. Anyone else? Daniel, give me 1 Peter 5. Let's read verses 1 through 4. We touched on this on last week. But also, when we think about qualities of good leadership, they must be willing to receive. I'm talking about the leaders' encouragement. Oh, I thought leaders are supposed to be encouraging. Well, they are. But do you know that even leaders need encouragement? They need to be built up. They need to be admonished. They need it too. They're men. They're people. They're humans. And it's interesting, before Brother Daniel reads 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, Jesus even took his disciples to a high mountain apart to get some what? That's because they've been working. And you work with people long enough, you are going to need some mental rest. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, please.
The elders which among you I exhort, him also and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory.
There is so much in here. There's so much encouragement in here. I don't even have time to even look at all of this, but I'm going to give us just a little bit just to consider. As a matter of fact, what do y'all see? What encouragement do y'all see from Peter? He says, I am also an elder. And guess what he's doing? He's encouraging the eldership, which means that, you know, elders, we have four of them. We can encourage one another. We can send each other messages. We can call one another. Hey, Royce, keep hanging in there. You're doing a good job. Appreciate that. Brian, appreciate you. Ryan, I know it's kind of hard to deal with you, but you're doing good. You know, we appreciate that. That's a joke. That guy there, he's so easy to deal with, it ain't funny. But here's the point. To encourage, to build up. What do y'all see in the text? What encouragement do y'all see in the text, which is a good quality that leaders ought to have, elders ought to have, and they ought to receive? Being willing servants. Good. What else? Yes. Okay. So exhorted to be examples, all right? To make an imprint on the people's lives. Go ahead. Anyone else? Anyone else? What do y'all see? Yes. Why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? What do you see? For the glory of God? What else? What else? What do y'all see? Humility. So they're being encouraged to be humble. Leaders need encouragement to be humble. Why? Let's talk about that. Why? Why?
Because man puffs leadership up because they, I don't know, but a lot of times they feel like that's a position to vow for.
Okay.
So people esteem them for their work's sake, and that can cause men to be haughty in their minds.
That's right.
And so therefore there needs to be an encouragement of humility. I feel like that's why God said that they all should be married.
I couldn't do it without my wife.
But not for that reason. Oh, you should have saw the way she said it. That's why I'm like,
because we often focus on the fact that leaders or teachers will be judged more strictly, which is true. But when the chief shepherd shall appear, they shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away, which I know we all get, but leaders are going to get that.
And so you see how Peter was encouraging the elders there? Like, hold on, I'm working for the Lord. Working in this eldership, I'm helping this eldership to feed this flock, to lead this flock, to make an impression upon this flock. And when the chief shepherd come, I'm going to receive something? Yes, the chief shepherd, which means that I'm an under shepherd. I'm under the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Yes, sir.
Well, you didn't read verse 5, but when it uses the word in verse 3, examples, not being lords, those entrusted.
Yes.
Stewardship.
Yes.
Examples. That word example is the word
twofold. Make an imprint.
Where we get our English word for types and anti-types.
That's right.
Shepherd is supposed to be the epitome. An elder is to be the epitome of what it means to be like the chief shepherd. Well, in verse 5, when he says, be clothed with humility, that word is only one time used in the New Testament.
That's right.
And that word is the Greek word. The ekoboma was a garment. It was worn by the lowliest of slaves. Jesus in John chapter 13, when he became the example, asking the question, and all good teachers know how to ask the right question, do you know what I've done to you? Well, he washed their feet.
That's right.
He literally, I don't think we realize this, but he unclothed himself and he put on an ekoboma. That is the garment of a slave.
That's right.
He stooped down and he began to wash his servants. Serve his, I guess you could say,
disciples.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the type that we, and by the way, just because we're not qualified does not mean every man in here, every woman should not strive to be the epitome of Christ's likeness to achieve the goal or qualities of an elder and elder's wife.
Which is the reason that we're going through these classes.
Yes. So we are striving to be that example. What?
That's right.
Like the chief shepherd. How? By putting on the garment of the slave, being clothed with humility. In what way? Just as Jesus did for his disciples, including Judas. That's so hard.
right. Let me add to what Courtland said, because he came from the aspect of Jesus already being on earth and humbling himself to wash his disciples' feet. But the word became flesh. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Let me make this point real quick. The very fact that the word humbled himself to be what? Now, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not count it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? There it is right there. The word became a bondservant and then became a man. Wow. Don't tell me that a leader, one of the qualities of a leader is a servant. And so here, I got Brother Dietrich and he needs me to serve him. I'm going to get down there and I'm going to serve the boy. Why? Because that's my job. My job is to serve the members. Guess what the job of the elders are? To serve. Guess what the job of the deacons are? To serve. Guess what the job of the ministers are? To serve. Well, if we don't like serving, there's no need of trying to be a leader in the Lord's church. See, there's a difference between being a leader in the Lord's church and being a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. That's a different type of leadership. And sometimes we try to bring that type of leadership into the Lord's church, but that's not it. No. It's actually inverted. Really, leaders, you're on the bottom, but you're also on the top. CEO, he's not looking at himself as one who's on the bottom, unless he's a really good man. Any comments? Any questions?
It's like circling the flock. You're on the top and you're bottom.
Yeah, that's a good point. Circling the flock. Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Mike.
Sir.
Mike mentioned how we talk about a lot, not creating a following, but faithfulness here. You know, we don't want people following us.
That's right.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah, we do. The responsibility of leaders in the Lord's church is, well, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. Brother Leon touched on it this morning. We touched on it last week. The responsibility of leaders in the Lord's church is to teach the people to have faith. Now, let's look at Romans 10. Let's look at verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. James, read Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I'm going to have faith, it's going to require the word of God, but it's going to require leaders teaching. See, we don't want you following us because we're the leaders. We want you following Christ. All of us should be following Christ. And you can tell when men want you to follow them because it goes against the word of God. You still follow me. No. Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ, which implies that if I'm not following Christ, what? Don't follow me. Don't follow me. Jesus would say, my sheep hear my voice. James.
We have a good example of what you just said. That the man that wasn't going to follow him is going to, at some point, going to end up start going against God. You look at John and he had the captivating about his eyes for you was choosing who could and who could not come into the church. And Paul or John and said, I'll deal with him when I get there.
That's right.
And yet you see the diatribes kind of going back to what we spoke about Christian grace, that why the elder needs to be encouraged to be humble.
Yeah.
Because men, kind of like what we talked about last morning, men, if we don't watch ourselves, we're going to take control and we're going to let it control us.
Yeah.
And you see God letting the power that he had take him to a place where he can control.
Appreciate that.
That's
right. So God's men, God's leader, they need to receive encouragement as well. They need to receive admonition. They need to receive strengthening. They need to receive instruction. No one is above the word of God. Absolutely no one. That's the beauty of the Bible. That's the beauty of God himself. And even when you think of the structure of the church, you have God who's over Christ. Christ who's over the apostles and prophets, the apostles and prophets writing through the word of God, friends, it all trickles down. We're supposed to be listening to our God. Yes.
So feeding off something Corporal said about all of us, even though maybe not qualified to serve as an elder, yet are aspiring to these qualities. One of the things I noted yesterday was if we had 91 plus people show up at that picnic, we had some very minute kind of direction. We knew who was kind of cooking and so forth. But I was real curious, just as a man, to watch who would jump up and start putting things together.
That's right.
And the question I had was did it all come together? Well, that's why I sent out my text message last night to those that I knew were very actively involved, and I appreciated that.
That's right.
Because I really did very little.
That's right.
And it was just a very warm thing to see people making decisions, falling in line. And though that's just a picnic,
that's right.
It says so much about people. And so then we come back here to be edified by the word of God.
That's right.
Then go execute spiritually.
No, you make another excellent point, because when you think about qualities of good leadership, they're looking at that because they want to pick from that. And even when you look at Acts chapter 6, and you had the problem with the Grecian widows, and what did Peter and the apostles say? Look out from among you. And he gave qualifications. And we discussed that last week a little bit. So, no, it's an excellent point there. Also, remember telling Ryan, him and I was talking yesterday, I think he was there too, Brian, I said, you know, it's just good to be part of a group that's alive, that's living. How do you know you're living? The word of God dwells in you richly, and it's being practiced. Perfection? No. Practice? Yes. Again, I told you last week, I don't mind being wrong. I mind staying wrong. Y'all ponder that for a little bit, because every now and then we're wrong. But the beauty of admonishing one another, we don't have to stay wrong. Yes, ma'am.
One of the other things, as a member, I would like to, you know, what I appreciate about the leadership here is your ability or y'all's ability to allow, put us in the best possible position to carry out the word of God. And sometimes what happens is the leaders will end up making those decisions for you instead of you being allowed to make those decisions yourself.
That's right.
Worship is at a certain time. We're going to be here. We're going to open up the doors. You decide to come because you love God. We're not making you come. It's a decision you make, but we're allowing for it to be done and allowing for the opportunity to be carried out.
Right.
And that's what I saw evidently is during COVID, a lot of congregations closed, but this congregation stayed open and said, we're allowing for the members to carry out the will of God. We're going to just make it possible. We're not going to shut it down. We're not going to not allow it to happen.
That's right.
I appreciate leaders that allow for its members to willingly carry out the will of God.
That's right. And on multiple occasions, there were different people that would come and say, thank y'all for putting this on. Thank y'all for putting this on. That's encouragement. Even to the point where Brother Brian said, we're going to do it again next year. But we're going to wait till it's a little cooler. I was going to say something, but I don't want to ruin the whole class. Because the brother was hot out there, boy. I tell you, it was hot. Anyway. One more point. Genuine or quality leaders, they shepherd even in the midst of difficult times. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, we find something interesting here, and I believe this is a great passage. Man born of woman is a few days in what? We all know that leaders have problems just like everyone else. Sometimes we have health problems just like everyone else. Sometimes we don't get along with our spouses just like you. Sometimes we have problems on the job. Sometimes we have bad attitudes. But we have the word of God in one another to balance one another out. sometimes we look at men like Paul and Peter and Matthew and Luke, and I remember as a kid, we almost looked at them as superheroes. We did. And then you grow up a little bit and realize, well, they're just men like you. They got problems just like you. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But that does not mean that leadership doesn't prevail, continue to go forward. So I told the young men just this morning as we were talking in class that you may have a bad day or a bad night, didn't get enough sleep, but the God of heaven deserves your attention in worship. That's not your opportunity to go to sleep because you're up. No. And I brought up when God had to do what he needed to do with Nadab and Abihu. And God told Moses, you tell Aaron, he better not respond in any way. And he didn't. His love for God superseded his love for his own children. Well, when you take on the role of leader, it's the same. It's not about me. And there's this saying, sometimes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just to put some passages to it, first 7-8 verses, sometimes you have to take the loss. And Paul would even say that in there, could you not have just taken the wrong? Sometimes you just got to take the L. I've taken a bunch of L's in my leadership days. Wasn't wrong, but took the L for what reason? For peace. For peace. And if you're married any amount of time, you're going to take an L every now and then just to maintain some peace. I mean, we're not being funny. That's the truth of the matter. So, Luke, when you get married, you're going to take an L. You're going to take an L. Be like, man, Brother Mike, she ain't right. Just take the L. Just take the L. It's okay. Because you got to go to bed at night. In peace. Here's the point. Here's the point we're making. As leaders, even in the midst of difficult times in your own personal life, you still got to help shepherd the flock. That's not your time to say, you know what? I don't want to have nothing to do with this. No, you stay with it. But we need the members to encourage. Encourage your leaders. Encourage young men that you're bringing up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Teach them some strength, some stamina. Brother Chad is always talking about, you know what? Life is hard and we got to do hard things and we can do hard things. Well, leaders in the Lord's church need to have the same grit, the same gumption, the same guts. The last thing you need are leaders who just fold because they don't want to go forward. That's not the leaders you want. And I guarantee you, the people will take on the mentality of the leaders. And on one occasion, God told Jeremiah, I believe it was, that my leaders have caused my people to go astray. We don't want that. And so when I think about this, there's a few things that I wanted to say. Even in the midst of difficult times, you got to do difficult things, which means that sometimes you have to stop the mouths of gainsayers. Titus 1, 10 through 11. At times, you have to make sure that you are helping to lead the flock. Hebrews 13 and verse number 17. Even when it's difficult. Even when it's difficult. But here's one. A leader in the Lord's church must remain qualified. Must remain qualified every single day. All leaders in the Lord's church, whether they're deacons, elders, ministers, teachers, they have to remain qualified every single day. Every day. There's no time for giving up. And if you do, have enough integrity to tell the congregation, I'm out. Don't prolong it. Because what happens is that sin, it just doesn't remain with the individual, with the man. It's just like in the days of Achan, friends. It affects everybody. And we don't want that. We owe it to Jesus Christ, our Lord. We owe it to the congregation. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our families that if we're not living right, I shouldn't even want to be a leader in the Lord's church. Why? Because the church of Christ is God's moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. In other words, we're the example. So I leave you with this. I find it interesting that God brought the children of Israel, Abraham's seed, out of Egyptian bondage, takes them to the Red Sea. He crossed it, and then next thing you know, they're going to Jericho, cross the Jordan River, go to Jericho, and they go all the way through the Mediterranean Sea, and God puts them right there, and he keeps the nations around him. Why did he do that? Brother Chad, because he wanted them to be an example to the nations around them. Isn't it interesting that God brought us out of the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then he sends us right back into the world, and you be a light. You be a changed man. So people ought to be able to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Next week, we're going to talk about more qualities, but we're going to go a little further because we're going to talk about some of the things that leadership needs to put forth, like organization and management and education. We're going to talk about those things on next week. Any questions, any comments before we go any further, before we close for the night?